Good morning. So not necessary. Gosh. Good morning. As Sten said, I'm Haley Leverty. I'm so happy to be here with you today to finish up our awesome message series that we've actually been in for a few weeks now, Faith Hacks. So you know you're getting older when your pastor asks you to talk about a super popular trend on social media and you have no idea what he's talking about. I remember nodding really confidently that I could talk about hacks when Sten asked me, and then I ran to my car and Googled what hacks were to see what I got myself into. I was really happy to find out it's not life hacks I'm talking about, so I don't have to come up with a toilet paper or a toothpaste shortcut for you today, but it's actually faith hacks. So once I found that out, I actually looked that up too, and I was not surprised to find that there's a magician with the name Faith Hacker. There is a Facebooker whose name is Faith Hack, and there's a financial services firm in Texas with that name. I can't do magic tricks, and I should not be helping you with your finances, but lucky for you, I do have a lot to say when it comes to our faith journeys. And not all that long ago, I was maybe one of the most information-filled, inspired, knowledgeable, miserable Christians I've ever met, and I want to tell you about it. So I grew up in a very large Southern Baptist church down in Atlanta, Georgia. Everybody dressed in their Sunday best. There were thousands of people in this congregation. And the sermons would go on for an hour. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that today. But it was really not uncommon for this preacher, if he saw a group of teenagers who weren't really paying attention, he'd walk up to them and he'd ask them to comment on what he'd just said. And if they couldn't answer, they were sometimes asked to leave. So there I was, this 8-year-old girl, taking 1,000 notes because I didn't want to be asked to leave church. My parents would quiz me on the sermon on the way home, and I quickly learned how important information is to have. Now, when we moved up to the Midwest, I got involved in another church, not quite as big. I did Sunday school, Bible school, you name it. Went to small groups, led small groups, and then eventually graduated from a Christian university, which required that we take theology courses. And now, I had all of this information, you know, and then once smartphones became a thing, I really had the information. I knew all the messages and the podcasts and the newest music, you name it, I knew it. And so in a way, on the outside, I was kind of this, like, poster child for church. And I can tell you this now, I don't know if I would have admitted it back then. I don't know if I realized it back then. So on the outside, I was this poster child for church, but on the inside, I was actually really negative. I had a really negative mindset. I was extremely critical of myself and others. I was the biggest people pleaser you're ever going to find. I was petrified of what people thought of me. And I would marinate on the things that people said, maybe you can relate, until I had convinced myself that the whole world just hated me. I was also a professional worrier. I considered worrying, and I know I can relate to some people on this, I considered worrying to be the responsible thing to do. People who didn't worry were reckless. Because by worrying, I could think through all the scenarios, and I could prevent problems from happening. So it was the responsible thing to do. So I told you all the things that I was involved in, right? So during this whole time, I had truth coming at me from all sorts of places. I was regularly being exposed to God's truth. So what was the disconnect? Today I want to talk about the importance of application. I want to look at what the barriers are to our application of God's truth in our lives, and I want you to walk out of here with a clearer understanding of how we can be step-taking Christians instead of just these information-saturated ones. And if you're anything like me, you might have a couple areas of your life that need a little less education and a little more execution. Those areas, by the way, they're really easy to spot. The areas that you need application, they're going to be the negative thing that you're dealing with right now. It's going to be the negative circumstance or the negative relationship or the thing that's causing you to lose sleep or worry about something at work. Those are all clear indications that you have an area that maybe needs a little bit more application. So I'm going to start with one of my favorite parts of the Bible. It's the book of James. James was a brother of Jesus, actually, who wrote this. And in it, he actually talks about application, so it's perfect. Chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. You have to do what it says." Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, which is the Bible, That gives freedom and continues on in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it. Well, that person's going to be blessed. I remember reading that and being like, that's what I want. So what do I have to do? So now in James's time, when he wrote this, there weren't Bibles on every nightstand. And if you wanted to catch someone preaching, you had to throw your sandals on and go running down the gravel road and find someone preaching live. And even then, there were no cell phones. So you couldn't record it or take notes or screenshot something and listen to it later. And even with all these circumstances, James was telling the people then, and he's still telling us today, it's not enough to just show up and listen, people. It's not enough to just come to church and listen and maybe even feel an emotion and be moved by something, but then walk out the doors and have nothing change. We have to ponder the information and remember it, maybe write it down, think about how it applies to us, and then take action when we walk out of here. So you'd think in the world we live in where we have these cell phones that can, you know, we can get a YouVersion Bible app, we can Google anything, we can see our notes, you'd think that something would stick, but I actually think the opposite is happening. I think because we're getting so much good information, you know, we showed up on Sunday and we heard some good thing about God that we learned, and then on Wednesday we're going to listen to a podcast. And we feel really good all the time about ourselves doing this, but I think the danger in that is we may be missing the boat in the part where we're actually supposed to apply the information now and make changes. And I think that was exactly my problem back in my dark ages, which is how I refer to them, is culprit number one that stops us from applying God's truth. It's that information, it feels an awful lot like application. So a while back, I was in a coaching program. It was mind, body, spirit, all the things. I had a workout plan, a nutrition plan. I had to talk to a coach every day, and it required that I get an exercise bike. I'm not really into exercise bikes. So my husband talked me out of a Peloton and into something a little cheaper to start. So I talk him into getting this thing in the basement. We set it up. I've got my workout plan printed out, my new tennis shoes sitting next to it, and all the intention in the world. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to use it every day, if not like more than that, because I have to use it at least once a day. I have used that bike maybe a couple times, you guys. And it still sits there if anyone would like an exercise bike. You can have all the information and all the intention in the world, but the execution still might not be there. Another example of this, you've got a new car. You've done all the research to buy it. You know everything there is to know about this car. It's sitting in your driveway. You can even get in it and smell the new car smell, but you never so much as drive it. You never experience driving it. Maybe you get all the ingredients to cook a great dinner and got the recipe right there. You're going to cook this dinner and try it, but you never get around to it. One last one. You plan a trip. You've researched a country you want to go to. You bought the plane ticket. You know everything there is to know about this country, but you never so much as step on the plane. You get the point. If we're taking the time to like come to church and learn all these things about God and the Bible and all the things that he says, but we're not willing to apply the information to our lives, we are 100% deceiving ourselves and missing the point. We can't just listen. We have to do. Culprit number two that stops us from applying God's truth in our lives is that we actually don't really believe that it applies to us. So when James says, if we listen and absorb, but we don't apply it, it's like looking at ourselves in the mirror and then immediately forgetting what we look like. Well, in this example, the mirror, you guys, is the Bible. And so if you're in that thing, I guarantee you it's going to reflect back to you what you look like. And what I mean is it's going to show you the posture of your heart. You're immediately going to know what needs trimming and plucking and what needs to be highlighted or maybe needs some gloss. I was looking in the mirror back in the day. I was regularly in the Word. I knew the truth. I could have quoted you verses like Matthew 6:24, do not worry about tomorrow, or Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious. It's not don't be anxious unless there's a big thing to be anxious about, or like just don't be anxious most of the time. It's do not be anxious. But my thought process defied me, and I really hope that you can listen in for this and see if this is you. Some of these are funny. This is what my mind did. So if I heard in church, don't worry, I think this is where my thought process went. Don't worry. Huh. That's just something the Bible says. It's not actually possible not to worry. Don't badmouth others. How else am I going to talk through my problems? I have to get them off my chest. Forgive others. That one's true. Only if the relationships aren't as complicated as mine. Love is supposed to bear all things, believe all things, and not keep record of wrongs. Okay, whoever wrote the Bible, clearly not married. I mean, these are the things that were going through my head. And whenever I realized that my values maybe weren't aligned with my actions, it was met with an excuse. And I don't know what your excuses are, but mine was victim mentality. Oh, anyone in my situation would be acting the same way. In fact, God probably gets it, because he knows I believe in him. I did. I believed in him with my whole heart. He probably gets it. I lead small group. I'm good. And I just think this is how so many of us think, you guys. We do all these good things, or maybe even these God things, and we busy ourselves up, and we just go ahead and ignore the parts of the Bible that we don't apply, that we don't think apply to us, and we ignore some of our worst habits. So what about you? Do you have maybe a person at work who is actually treating you or others unfairly? And it's easy to jump in on the bandwagon of insulting when it happens. Or maybe you've crossed the line with someone who isn't your spouse, and you tell yourself, well, yeah, anyone with that much pain going on in their marriage would do the same thing. I mean, I need to be happy. Or maybe you're like I was, and you're just a worrier because you don't think you have another choice. Where in your life are you hearing the truth but dropping the ball on applying it? Culprit number three for not applying God's truth is that we don't know the truth because we don't read the Bible, and you can't apply what you don't know. So some of you maybe are not the consumer Christian that I've been describing. Maybe you're not the person who's in church every Sunday, listening to podcasts all the time. Maybe it's been a while since you've even cracked your Bible open, or maybe you never have. And by the way, this whole message is written assuming that you want to get better at applying God's truth. And I know that for some of you, that might not be the case. Like, maybe you're just here because someone asked you to come or dragged you here, or because you don't know what else to do. And if that's you, it's okay. You can take a pass on everything I'm saying. My challenge to you would be to take one or two of these things home and try them out on your marriage and see what happens. See what happens in your other relationships. Back to the Bible. I know it can be an intimidating book to get started with, super intimidating book to get started with. So I want to sidestep just for a quick second, if that's you, and give you a couple quick tips that helped me get started with it. So the first tip was, think baby steps. Like, don't feel like you got to read the whole thing, or even a whole book, or even a whole chapter. I mean, have you ever been like me and read a chapter before bed, you get to all the way to the bottom, and you're like, I have no idea what I just read. Start over. Read all the way through it again. Still no idea. Night, night. You know, it's really hard to read sometimes. And so I like to say that you're better off absorbing a couple verses than you are just scanning. Try to just absorb a little bit. The second one, this is great. You have to make it personal. So a couple years ago, my husband noticed that his energy levels were down. He was feeling fatigued and just got really into detoxing and had all these books around our house. And me being like a year and a half younger, I was like, oh, that aging must stink for you. I wasn't feeling any of those things, so those books all around our house, they were completely invisible to me. Well, now fast forward a couple years, and now guess whose body is tired and fatigued, and now I'm interested. Now his books are on my nightstand because they became personal. You're not going to read a book until it becomes personal. Bible's the same way. So if you're wondering where to get started, maybe pick something that you're going through right now, like take anxiety, for example. Find out where the Bible talks about it, because I assure you it does. Talk to Sten. Read about it. Read about the thing that you're going through. I guarantee you it has something to say about anything that you might be going through right now, because that's what it's there for. Another thing people like sometimes is to read about the life of Jesus. Start there if that's interesting to you. One of my favorites is to read a devotion. It's a couple paragraphs written by a modern-day author, and at the bottom there's usually a couple verses. I go to whatever verse feels like it's applying to me most, and I read around it in the Bible, and that's how I've done it for years. Last tip, don't cram, comprehend. So whenever I'm reading, I've got a pencil and a highlighter, and I'm Googling things, and I'm looking things up, and I want to know who the author is, who they were talking to, and what even was going on before I try to figure out how to apply it to my life. I think it's so important to understand what we're reading. Okay, so the first culprits that stop us from actually applying God's truth. One, information feels like application. Two, we don't really think everything applies to us. Three, could be that we don't know the Bible well enough to apply it in the first place. The last culprit, and maybe the most convincing one of all, is that we don't actually believe that the Bible or the law or God's instruction on your life, whatever you want to call it, we don't actually believe that it offers freedom. So don't let this one go over your head. Do you actually believe deep down that how God wants you to live, his instructions, offer more freedom? Because I know a lot of Christians that would say just the opposite. I know a lot of Christians that would say, nope, the Bible actually feels more like a constraint to me. When I was in high school, I followed the rules, but man, was I resentful. I was so resentful because in my teenage mind, God and the Bible and his rules were the reasons why I couldn't sleep in on Sunday mornings. They were the reason I couldn't party like everybody else. I was missing out on friends and boyfriends and popularity and all the things. It didn't feel like freedom back then to follow his instruction. But teenagers in here, I want you to hear this right now. Any adult in this room, any adult, if given the chance to go back in time and take back their biggest regret made as a young person, they would. I am so grateful for every time a good decision saved me. I didn't always make good ones back then, but I'm so grateful for every time I did. Here's another example. Saving money doesn't always feel like what we want to do. You don't always want to sock half your money away, right? Doesn't feel good. But in the future, it offers much, much freedom. Working out, if you're one of the people that likes working out, good for you. That's not me. I hate working out. I make myself do it because I know that in the future, it will offer me and my body and my heart freedom. Maybe you've had someone hurt you and you've held a grudge. Actually, that's all of us, okay? So when you have had someone hurt you and hold a grudge, you know how heavy it feels, right? And we do that because our human instinct says, oh, no, you need to remember that so that that doesn't happen again. You got to hang on to that so it doesn't happen again. But God actually says, I want you to let that go. God, did you see what the person did to me? And now you want me to let them off the hook? It's exactly what he wants you to do. Because he knows forgiveness is much more about us than it is about the other person. And if you're able to part with resentment, guess who's going to be free? You are. God's instruction on our lives doesn't exist to prevent us from having fun or to tie us down, but just the opposite, you guys. It exists to free us from things like debt and resentment and bitterness and anger and exhaustion and addiction, and all, the list goes on. But we have to trust that he knows best, even when it doesn't quite feel like freedom at first. One last example. You've probably heard this one at a wedding or two. I certainly have. I used to be a wedding planner. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. This does not just apply to married couples, though. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It isn't self-seeking, not easily angered. This is a big one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Okay, so if this doesn't just apply to marriage, and these are all truths that you and I need to follow, then it means I can't hang on to the things that my spouse did that hurt me years ago, or yesterday, or this morning on the way to church. I can't hang on to them. No record of wrongs. It means I can't be jealous of someone else's life or friends or clothes or whatever. And it means I can't get angry at the drop of a hat, even if it's warranted. And it means I can't lie, even if that would be more convenient. So what parts of God's instruction have you been hearing and absorbing but not applying? And in other words, where does God want to set you free? What would your marriage look like if there was no record of wrongs? Actually, imagine that. What if you woke up every morning to a clean slate? What would happen to you if there was no comparison in your mind, ever? No regrets, no jealousy, no comparison. What would happen to you if you were to just let the resentment go? Imagine the confidence you'd feel in knowing the only person whose opinion matters is God. God's. I'm telling you, it is absolutely possible to live a life free from worry and anger and resentment and shame. I'm walking proof. It's possible, and it's possible to live a marriage that is free of those things. It's possible to live with a mindset that is free of those things. When we don't just hear, but we apply God's truth to our lives, we experience freedom, and that freedom, while not always obvious or immediate, is guaranteed. God wants what's best for us, and application beats information every single time. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for every person who's in this room right now. I know that every single person in every single chair is here for a reason, and that there's some piece of this morning that you wanted them to take away. And so I pray that you would just reveal to us the areas of our life where we need a little bit more application so that we can experience your peace in our minds, in our marriages, in our relationships, and in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.